Welcome back to New Rock Stars. New looks from Spider-Man No Way Home show Doc Ock trying to crush Spider-Man's head, making us wonder, what is running through this Padman's mind? Like, when I get dragged into a surprise party, my first thought is not ever, let me turn to the sweetest looking boy, say, hi, Peter, and then restage the mountain versus the viper to implode his skull. What is going on? This is Rogue Theory, the show where we pitch the wildest theories for the nerdy titles we love. I'm Eric Voss, and going rogue with me today is our own friendly neighborhood, Jessica Clemens.
Whip, whip, whip.
And warping into our timeline from the Twitch dimension, it's Angelica Trey.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Good to have you back. And finally, our guy in the chair, especially at this exact moment, it's MT.
Man in the chair. It's me, everybody.
I thought you were going
to say more stupid things on your screen yet again. Hello. I love you all. Mwah.
And we love you, MT, especially knowing that right before you taped, you were clearing branches through your neighborhood because there's a crazy nor'easter in the Northeast.
It actually wasn't. It was literally a whole tree, and I couldn't move it. So it's literally still in the middle of the road.
Well,
I feel
stay
terrible.
Safe out there. Careful, because those branches coming from Florida, I'm always afraid to touch branches because they're connected to power lines that they've tripped on. It's a scary time. So just stay safe.
Very scary.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to talk about Doc Ock in Spider-Man No Way Home. We got some new set photos from Empire Magazine showing Otto Octavius, Doc Ock, battling with Spider-Man, using the classic maneuver of constricting him with his tentacle arms and trying to crush his head. Between this and Alfred Molina's happy, hi, Peter, line in the trailer, what exactly is going through this guy's head? Like, since getting warped into this reality, is he still pursuing that agenda of completing his fusion reaction? Is he just trying to kill anything that looks like Spider-Man? Is he trying to get home, or does he like it better in the MCU? What do you guys think?
I feel like he wasn't ready for this scale of things, and he's just going after anything that resembles Spider-Man. And yeah, I'd imagine he's not, I don't think he's ready to venture through any sort of multiverse, but who knows, you know, maybe he's full of surprises.
Yeah, do we think that he knows that he has gone into another dimension yet, or does he still think he's in the same version of New York City that he left?
Maybe he's just confused and he thinks there's a copycat or something. Copycat Spidey, who is this? Grab his head.
It's like, you're not Tobey Maguire. I like the Raimi films better.
He's just a normal child that he's trying to kill in a costume.
Exactly. He's like, it's not pizza time.
It's not Halloween yet. What are you doing?
Yeah, because, like, we got to remember, in that moment during the fusion reaction, yes, he was pissed off at Peter, but only because Peter was meddling with his plan to, like, resurrect his science experiment. And yeah, he did capture Mary Jane, but it was really just to kind of lure in Peter Parker. He wasn't that homicidal. I guess you could say he kind of was. That whole train battle, he was straight up trying to kill Peter Parker.
Yeah. But just mild.
It was in the pursuit of keeping the sun in the palm of his hand. Does he care anymore about having the sun in the palm of his hand? Is he just like straight up, I'm going to kill anything that's red, blue, and whippy all over?
I think that, I think so. I think that Doc Ock in his timeline or his universe has succeeded in killing Peter Parker to continue building his reaction, his fusion reaction. And then when that spell happens and they drop into the MCU or what we call our Peter Parker's timeline, they come in and they see all of the stuff on the news that are like, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, Peter Parker, Spider-Man. And he's like, I just killed this guy. I have to go kill him again. And so he's going to kill this Peter Parker just out of like, I need to kill Peter Parker. He's going to ruin and foil my plans. So he could be confused ultimately what Angelica says, but I think it'd be fun to see him be like, I just killed this guy. How is he still alive? And just because if there's multiple timelines, multiple branches, there could be a timeline where this Doc Ock did successfully kill Peter Parker. And it'd be sad, but I do like the idea of a dead Peter Parker. I think it brings you closer. Like the idea of a dead boy.
Jessica is the sixth member of the Sinister Six.
Yeah, confirmed. I think so. Yeah. Jessica,
it's confirmed. Nothing I want more than to murder this child, but this young boy. I hope Tom Holland's not watching this. I'm a big fan, and I would never wish death upon you. But in this series, I need it. I need to feel that connection that we did get in the animated Spider-Man that we did see. It's like when he died, we were like, we didn't even get to see that Peter Parker for long, but just because he died, it was like, oh damn, this is emotional and I'm attached. So I think still having a dead Peter Parker in a timeline is a good idea.
I could see.
Yeah, I think what's like, we have to remember that, and this is why I'm so obsessed with this question. When we watch the No Way Home trailer again and again, and we see all these teases come out, all these theories, like, I think we forget that these are all like adult, brilliant scientist characters who left a story where they were in charge of the agenda. And they aren't just like toys we get to play with again who are dropped into our Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, Alfred Molina is an experienced stage actor. He has to play some objective in this movie. He's not just here just so we can have Doc Ock again. Like, he has a mission that he is on. Yeah. And you gotta imagine he's now in a universe that's presumably gonna have Willem Dafoe, Norman Osborn.
Yeah, he's gonna have all these villains.
Mm-hmm. As Alfred Molina, Doc Ock, as Otto Octavius, he had a deal begrudgingly with Harry Osborn, who just carried on the Oscorp legacy of funding his experiments, but presumably knew who Willem Dafoe, Norman Osborn was. So if he gets to see him again, he now views him as like a potential ally and what his technological ambitions were. So are they working together to attack this bridge in this moment? Are they rivals, or are they just like two wrestlers who end up in the same ring who are like, all right, you and me, tag team, let's go, brother.
They have to be working together. Wouldn't Doc Ock be the leader? Or, well, if we're going, depends on which Sinister Sticks we're going with, but I thought Doc Ock was going to be the leader of this bunch of hooligans.
Maybe.
I assumed. He's also MT? The smartest
one. MT, Daddy, get in Daddy, here.
Maybe they're just picturing him, and there's like a bigger bad, you know?
Maybe, yeah.
See, I think the main motivation for all of these people could be the main motivator for most bad guys, especially in real life, money. I think that there's probably a huge bounty on this Peter Parker's head. And we have, your lizards, your Doc Ox, who wants to have the sun in his hand, have the whole sun in his hand, and, all those people. And then you have Norman Osborn basically funding this whole thing. It's like, we need to kill this man. And I think what's going to make this movie super unique is that I'm of the mind that Peter Parker goes to this weird amalgam universe where the Raimi Spider-Man, the Web Spider-Man, and elements from his world are mashed up together into this one world. And I think that every time like a Spider-Man villain sees Peter, they see his version, like the version that they're familiar with.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right. So like, yeah, like that's, so Doc Ock sees Tobey Maguire. He's like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get that money because I don't like you anyway.
So we're back in the MT theory of it's all a side playground. It's not the MCU. Don't worry, kiddos. People can get hurt and die with no effect on our main MCU continuity.
Yeah, as I think that the whole Peter Parker being out of the MCU, that whole drama that we all, the trauma that we all went through with Sony and Marvel not having, seeing eye to eye, I think that elements of that are still here. I think that Spider-Man will not stay in the MCU forever because Sony still owns Spider-Man. Like, even though it feels like Spider-Man's in the MCU forever, that's not necessarily true. And I think that right now Sony is making this weird playground that Spider-Man will end up playing in with, that past, Sony Spider-Man history already intact.
So that's just my weird... Are you saying there's no Toby?
I'm saying there is a Toby, but the world that they're in mashes up like the pasts of like Toby and Andrew together with Peter's past to make this weird, like, this is the one and only Spider-Man. We're just mushing all their souls together, essentially, and like mushing the souls of their universes together to make this weird new universes where all the movies are canon now. But yeah, the main motivator, I think, for Doc Ock here is just money. I think that he wants to fund his experiments to... for the reason why he has those arms to mess with the sun, I think that's still there. And I think that all these people are desperate and they're just want to kill Peter Parker for the cash.
See, it's got to be more than money, though, because money was an easy thing for Doc Ock to get in the first movie. He robbed a bank. Joel McHale was like, sure, take all my money. Like, I think that's an easy thing for him to get his hands on. He only got money in pursuit of rebuilding his fusion tech experiment. See, I think, like, in that moment, he's freaked out, and Peter is the first recognizable thing in this altered world. So he's like, kid, tell me where I am. Tell me where I am. What universe is this?
And then Peter goes, oh, you're in the wrong universe. And then he just throws up his arms and walks out.
He goes, he crawls back through the hole. He goes, yeah. Whoops.
Goodbye, just dips.
See you. Is it still canon, and are we still keeping in mind that at the end of that Peter, that Doc Ock, he straight up was just like controlled by his tentacles, and he was like, "You listen to me now." So he changed himself. He like, "You listen to me now." So he changed who he was. So I'm also like, are we gonna get that in this movie where he's gonna come back to who he once was, or are we getting the only solely crazy Doc Ock that's controlled by his tentacles?
It depends when during that boathouse battle he gets sucked in during. Yes. Because is it before Peter Parker electrocutes him and he goes, and that kind of zaps the neural chip in his spinal cord? If it's before that, the arms are still in charge and he's still pretty evil. Yeah. If it's after that, you know, Alfred Molina has been able to like summon up the balls to be like, listen to me now. And then he's more in charge.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be before. I think we're going to get more.
So we have to electrocute him again to get his senses back. Which could the Jamie Foxx could do? Jamie Foxx
just a hug from Electro.
Hey, buddy, what's going on? He's like, what am I doing here? I've gone crazy. I need my children. I need my wife.
Your wife is still dead. She's still dead.
he comes back. So that's the flip the switch. Okay, so it
that's it. Take the wheel arms. I'm pissed off again. I wonder, I think MT, you're on to something. I don't know if it's going to be a completely separate pocket reality. I still think it's going to be the MCU because Sony wants it to be MCU. They want it to be universe where Doctor Strange and Wong and Iron Man once were. You know, but I do think that, like, similar to the Westview Hex kind of fading at the end and then the status quo has been roughly restored by the end of the movie, we might have some of that going on, like the spell ends or something. Mm. But I do think that's still the main MCU. I think in the way that, like, the Westview Hex still had some... those people were still pissed off and they felt betrayed. Yeah. I think there's still going to be some, within the MCU, some residual effects that are left over from everything that happens in No Way Home. Otherwise, I think people just feel too shortchanged if it's all just in a bubble reality that have no consequences, you know?
Mm. I think they might go with, like, the whole Christmas Carol vibe, though, which is like, like, all that stuff didn't really happen to Ebenezer Scrooge, but, like, it's the journey that forms you.
Someone must have changed by the end of this in order for it to matter, right? No story matters unless someone
changes. It's just going
to
be, like, Peter Parker, though. it's just going to be Peter Parker.
Yeah. I think I just wonder, like... Not all these people are going to be straight up villains to Peter by the end of this movie. Which of the, are the Sinister Six going to be united in their antagonism toward Peter? Are any of them going to join Peter's side? Like, are Doc Ock and Green Goblin going to be constant threats to Peter for the full 2.5 hours?
I think specifically Sandman, because he's so easily changeable. Not easily changeable. He's made of sand. You can just put him into a
like
castle.
Like the sands of time.
He's like, damn, so I'm stuck here.
It's the morality.
Yeah, the sands of time. They put him in an hourglass and they kind of just like let him sit there.
Like Jasmine.
Oh, God, they're going to drown in sand. So, but I think he has, well, if we're staying to the situation of like how close he was to his daughter, I think he's someone that's easily able to like switch sides. That's why I think I'm just betting now that the first person to change sides will probably be him.
All the Sinister Six villains had some kind of relationship with Spider-Man or Peter Parker to where they could flip. Like Dr. Connors, you know, was a mentor. So was Otto Octavius. So was Norman Osborn. I would say of those, at least in the Raimi films, Otto had the least amount of time with Peter Parker. They just had like that one lunch date. Whereas Norman Osborn, it was like his son's best friend. Yeah. He kind of grew up. And then Dr. Connors at least had several classes that Peter Parker skipped out on. but that was, it was different in the Mark Webb ones, right? Dr. Connors was more like an Otto Octavius kind of science mentor to him. Mm. I would say at least Otto was kind of controlled by that neural chip, whereas like Norman Osborn went full on crazy.
He's just crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like that like one's nuts. You're not gonna be able to change.
Yeah.
Also, I don't want him to change. I like him as
Gwen. I have this weird feeling that most of them will end up, like, switching to, like, not good, but, like, to not wanting to murder Peter. Because, like, I know that there are rumors or something that Sony's planning on making, like, a Sinister Six type of spinoff or something. Or, like, marketing them. So I think that, you know, having them be evil is not their whole intent for, like, at the end of this film. I think they just want to be like, oh, we're like Suicide Squad. We got the badass people, anti-heroes, and all that stuff.
No, I think you're right. Norman Osborn
will probably be the only one that stays evil.
Yeah, we will see, because I think, based off of the trailer footage, the little we know, like, Peter is holding on to that cube. I think that's the prison that they're all contained. Doctor Strange is trying to get it back from him. I have a feeling that Doctor Strange is going to be like, I just want to banish or erase these villains. I think Peter believes in rehabilitation. I think he's going to want to try to, like, prove that people can be rehabilitated. Like, that's his mission in this movie. And he's going to try to turn these guys good. I think there is some external force that is manipulating Doctor Strange. He's a big weirdo from everything I've seen. I think that's going to be the ultimate villain of this movie, is whoever is controlling Doctor Strange.
If it is Doctor Strange.
If it is Doctor Strange. I don't know. I think Doctor Strange, though. I think it's Scarlet Witch.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I think Doctor Strange is the secret villain of this because he just wants Dr. Octavius' arms to do surgery again.
Yes. Oh, yeah, really. Like, oh, I'm the only doctor.
Hey, give me those hands. Give
me hands.
I would love to see a Doctor Strange Doc Ock, like, doing magic with extra arms. Like, that'd be nuts.
There would be just, well, yeah, there would be the scene of the portal, and then he's going through and punches himself. Like, there would be a lot of those.
Jessica, you get the point here for saying that you would murder Peter Parker. That's what you want to see. I think that's a rogue take.
Don't hold that on. Hold that to me.
Jessica, I would murder Tom Holland Clemens.
Nope.
It's true. It's now on the internet now.
That's in the thumbnail of this video. Jessica with a little thought
bubble. Jessica wants to murder Tom.
The police knock at my door. They're like, we got to talk about this. You're in a... Seems like it's going to happen.
He's worried. He's afraid. Yeah. We're going to dive into the surprising casting news that came out this week regarding an upcoming MCU film. But first, grab yourself a cool limited edition shirt inspired by Venom, Let There Be Carnage, from our merch partners at Epic Hero Shop. They also have great shirts for other merch inspired by Shang-Chi, Suicide Squad, and other properties that we've been loving here in the past few months. Find those shirts and all the great merch options at NewRockStarsMerch.com. Now, guys, there's nothing sexier than confidence, and Blue Chew can help give you that confidence where it counts. Blue Chew has a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. BlueChew's tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. So if you could benefit from some extra confidence when it's time to perform, BlueChew can help. And we've got a special deal for our audience. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code ROGUE at checkout. Just pay the $5 in shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code ROGUE to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information, and we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the show. Also, cryptocurrency might feel like a secret or an exclusive club, but Coinbase believes that everyone, everywhere should be able to get in the door. Whether you've been trading for years or just getting started, Coinbase can help. Coinbase offers a trusted and easy-to-use platform to buy, sell, and spend cryptocurrency. They support the most popular digital cryptocurrencies on the market and make them accessible to everyone. They offer portfolio management, protection, learning resources, and a mobile app so that you can trade securely and monitor your crypto all in one place. Millions of people in over 100 countries trust Coinbase with their digital assets. Whether you're looking to diversify, just getting started, or searching for a better way to access crypto markets, start today with Coinbase. For a limited time, new users can get $10 in free Bitcoin when you sign up today at coinbase.com/rogue. Sign up at coinbase.com/rogue for $10 in free Bitcoin. This offer is for a limited time only, so be sure to sign up today. That's coinbase.com/rogue. And you are busy, and you have a lot of things to spend time on. One of them should not be thinking about what to wear. Embrace the radically efficient Mack Weldon Daily Wear System. The Daily Wear System is a selection of clothes rooted in smart design, made with performance fabrics, and built to work together. From breathable t-shirts and polos to stylish button-ups and shorts, underwear, and beyond, Mack Weldon makes it easy for you to dress for work, leisure, or wherever your life takes you. Here at New Rockstars, we are big fans of their hoodies and sweatpants. From their fancy Ace material that's softer than soft, they look as good on the street as they feel while you are sitting on the couch. They've got groupings of outfits designed for office workers, workout warriors, travel junkies, and folks that just like to lounge. You can grab the pieces that all work together and be looking great no matter what you are into. Buy some time this fall with a Mack Weldon Daily Wear System. For 20% off your first order, visit mackweldon.com/rogue and enter the promo code ROGUE. That's mackweldon.com/rogue. Promo code ROGUE for 20% off Mack Weldon radically efficient wardrobing. All right, guys, let's talk about this huge news that came out this week. Bill Murray revealed in an interview that he will be playing a small role in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, but gave no details as to what that role will be. But this third Ant-Man movie will feature Jonathan Majors returning as Kang the Conqueror after his brilliant performance in Loki, and introduce Catherine Newton as Cassie Lang, aka the Young Avenger Stature. And it seems like it will take place a lot in the Quantum Realm, maybe the Quantum Realm City, perhaps Chronopolis, knowing that Kang is going to be involved in this. So, and we also just saw in a video I explored yesterday, the movie's new loopy title logo, and it's based on circles, which means time travel. Circles mean time travel.
Are we sure?
So, I wanted to ask you guys, though. I had some ideas about who, what kind of character Bill Murray might be playing. Who do you think he's going to be in Ant-Man 3?
I think he's going to be
Scott
Lang.
He's got to be Scott's dad.
No, what? I think he's Scott Lang.
Oh, you think he's older Scott Lang, like the old man in the suit?
Yes. I think it's going to be older Scott Lang. Also, because even though he's playing a small part, it has to be important. It's Bill Murray. And I think if we look at Loki, how we got Richard E. Grant playing older Loki, that was a small part, but it was still a big part. And he played a different version of Loki. So I think in this world, he's playing a different, not a different version, older Scott Lang. And him as Scott Lang would be very fun. We all love our kooky Bill Murray, and we'd still get that kooky Bill Murray with the years of knowledge that Scott Lang current, like, just imagine Scott Lang older through time doing what he's doing. Who is he? Bill Murray.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
So suck it, MT.
Okay. Okay. I have two theories as to who this could be. I think that it's most likely going to be Scott's dad, because we have, you know, Hope's mom and dad in the picture, and Hope and Scott have been together for a little while now, so they might be engaged or something. Maybe they might be getting married. So maybe Scott's dad will be like, hey, son, I was probably shitty, but here I am to support you.
I was probably shitty.
I don't know. So I think that Scott's dad might be in the picture in this movie, but I think a more fun guess, because we're dealing with, you know, Ant-Man, and the one of my favorite moments in Marvel history was when Hank Pym ran into Eternity. Like, he grew so big that he goes into the Oververse, or whatever it's called, Overspace, right, and he runs into Eternity. And I would love if Bill Murray was Eternity in this, in the MCU. That'd be great. Like, that'd be perfect if he was just like, hey, guys, what are you doing in there? It's really weird. Settle down. Thank you.
I do love that. It would be a bummer, though, because Bill Murray said he's not planning on ever coming back in the MCU. He doesn't really like this genre. So if that'd be like our one shot at getting Eternity and its voice
back. I would love it.
He's like, I'm never coming back.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So like, based off of some of those interview quotes, I feel like he's not going to necessarily be a cameo, but maybe he's going to be a wild, wacky character in, I don't know, like, not like a butler type character, but someone that's the equivalent of like Mobius or something.
Uh-huh.
In the quantum realm. And he's going to be really wacky and really silly. Either that or he's going to just make a Groundhog Day reference.
I mean, I honestly think that's the tree we should be barking up, Angelica, because I bet like Bill Murray was partially convinced to be in this movie from someone showing him clips of Loki and just be like, look, we got Owen Wilson, your co-star from all the Wes Anderson movies. Like, Owen Wilson's like, Bill, where are we? French Dispatch is one kind of movie we can make, but look, we can just do what we're doing and not even have to make any different acting choices, and we can just, they put all the special effects around us and you get to just do your thing. And Bill's like, okay, I guess I'll do that.
That's really good.
Like, imagine, like, my idea is, like, he's just going to be this goofball, this high priest in Chronopolis who's like, oh, yes, I love Kang the Conqueror. He's my lord and savior. He's everything I need. I get to wear these goofy bathrobes, and that's, you know. But I do also love the idea of him being Phil Connors, of, like, he's just collected as this other character from another reality of, like, the ultimate time loop guy, you know?
I honestly just want to play for him to play himself. Just be like, hey, it's me, yeah. Bill Murray. Imagines Bill Murray, like, in the quantum realm. Because, like, I think that in the quantum realm, your mind can make your reality. So maybe he's imagining Bill Murray through all of his, like, quantum stuff. He's like, all right, it's just like Groundhog Day. And then Bill Murray shows up. He's like, oh, my God. I don't know why I'm here, but you imagine me, Scott. So
and you imagine me as the old version of me, not the young version of me in Groundhog Day.
Yeah. I mean, that is kind of like very Zombieland random Bill Murray cameo, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if Marvel wanted this to get out. Clearly, this is just Bill Murray going rogue, just doing his thing and, like, talking to what he thinks is a German newspaper. It's never going to get back to mainstream press. And I bet Marvel's and Peyton Reed might be like, damn it. Damn it. That was going to be a surprise cameo. Damn it. But we know it now. So get another crazy cameo on top of that. Yes. To get us excited. Always say that's my way. Yes. Okay. So a lot of fun ideas out there. If you haven't already, be sure to watch Wednesday's Ant-Man 3 video. Ant-Man the Wasp Quantumania. We got some clues. Woo-hoo. I talk about Arrival. Yeah. But I'm going to give the point to MT because I like this idea of Eternity. I just hope that they would be able to get him back for future cameos.
I know. Hey, he could just phone it in. He could just be like, hey, just say these lines. Whatever.
Whatever you want. Whatever you want. All right. So we're now going to move into our rogue question. Are you guys ready?
I think so.
Always.
Yes.
Ready as I'll ever be.
All right, guys. So here's the question. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness has finished its principal photography. However, it has been confirmed by Benedict Cumberbatch that some additional reshoots are happening later this year. And this is already after they already did some reshoots. So we're getting another round of reshoots. We don't have any reason to be concerned. As we have learned on every Marvel movie, they do reshoots. The same story comes back every time. Oh my God, they're doing reshoots. So is there trouble in paradise? No! They do reshoots and multiple rounds of reshoots on all of these movies. It's just what every director wishes he or she could do if they had the opportunity to go back and change some stuff and get some better takes. But since this is the Multiverse of Madness, I want you guys to look at some other crazy pop cultural event that has happened in recent months. You know, since they've already been tinkering away at Multiverse of Madness, what new thing has happened in the zeitgeist that Sam Raimi's like, I gotta get this in the movie, so I'm gonna reshoot it and force this cameo that has no business being in a Marvel movie into this movie. Go rogue, my babies.
They're throwing in a Baby Yoda for sure. There's gonna be at least one Baby Yoda. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Several Baby Yoda-i, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, they wanted to include Steve from Blue's Clues coming back, telling us that he's proud of Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange shed one single tear. It's a whole new scene.
Hey, you may have forgotten me, Doctor Strange, but I'm proud of you. You've come so far.
He's like, look at you go, Doctor Strange.
Look at you go. Far you come.
Doctor Strange just cries.
Well, I think it'd be fun if they reshoot it to add, like, Wong or someone getting ready for Halloween, and it's a bunch of Squid Game outfits. instead of what they were doing before, instead of making them like, oh, you're gonna dress up as like a Marvel character, he's like, no, I need to reshoot it. Squid Game's really big. And he's just wearing Nike.
You know what? That would be hilarious because, like, of the tentacle creatures, the interdimensional tentacle creatures. So, like, they just put a Squid Game reference because the yeah. squids.
The squid there game is Shuma Gorath going red light, green light.
Just want to see an emergency happen, and they show up in the Nike tracksuit instead of the outfit they're supposed to be in.
I love that so much, because he's an eyeball. It's so yeah. funny.
Just an eyeball. Red light, green light.
That's so funny.
It just kills off people on the... I was going to sing the song, but I don't think I'm allowed to sing that song.
Red light, green
I don't know the Korean words. I don't want to butcher it and just be an asshole. Yeah, so I'm not going to do it. Well, I think the point there's got to go to Angelica Trey. I love this idea of Steve from Blue's Clues.
Oh, my God. So funny.
Coming into this. I think that'd be so sweet and so beautiful. And I love that Sam Raimi's like, I got to get him in there. Well, that means all of us are winners today. Woo. Good job, everybody. That's it for this episode of Rogue Theory. A big thanks to all of our guests, Jessica Clemens, Angelica Trey, and MT. Follow all of them on social media and support their many endeavors. And you can support our channel by checking out all of our great merch options at newrockstarsmerch.com. You can follow me at EA Voss, follow New Rockstars on all social platforms, and be sure to subscribe to our channel here on YouTube. See you all next week, chubbers.